Hello, everyone.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Em.
Welcome to our podcast discussing all the latest books. This is season 3, episode 1, and today we are discussing 19 Steps by Millie Bobby Brown. Although, it's my understanding that she might have ghostwritten this book, so saying it's by her might not technically be accurate.
It says with Kathleen McGirl on the inside of the book.
Okay, shout out Kathleen McGirl. But as always, we will save our ratings to the very end.
We promise to give you all of our honest opinions on all the characters, chapters, and scenarios. We don't mean any harm to any of the authors. This is solely our opinion. And as always, we promise to Carlin like we read them.
Period. So, there are some trigger warnings. We may make reference to these. I will say it does a good job of not going into super detailed, except for maybe what the bodies look like after the accident. There may be references to child death, death of a parent, death in general, war, grief, injury, medical trauma, alcohol, violence, blood, vomit, body horror, pregnancy, the loss of a spouse to war, sexism, cancer or terminal illness, references to asthma and trouble breathing, the stampede and pile of bodies is pretty intense.
The PTSD.
As always, make sure to take care of yourselves, and spoilers will lie ahead.
If you don't want to hear how this book ends, please pause here and go read the book and then come back to this episode. Are you ready to get started?
Let's get into it. Emily is going to read the summary for us from the back of the book because I do not own this one.
Yes. Love blooms in the darkest days. It's 1942 and London remains under constant threat of enemy attack as the Second World War rages on. In Bethnal Green neighborhood, Nellie Morris counts every day lucky that she emerges from the underground shelters unharmed, her loving family still surrounding her. 3 years into the war, she's grateful to hold on to the remnants of normalcy, her job assisting the mayor, nights spent at the local pub with her best friend. But after a chance encounter with Ray, an American airman stationed nearby, Nellie becomes enchanted with the idea of a broader world. Just when Nellie begins to embrace an exciting life with Ray, a terrible incident occurs during an air raid one evening, and the consequences are catastrophic. As the truth about the night is revealed, Nellie's world is torn apart. When it seems that all hope is lost, Nellie finds that against all odds, love and happiness can triumph. 19 Steps is a deeply affecting, mesmerizing page-turner inspired with the author's family history. An epic story of love, loss, and secrets, Millie Bobby Brown's debut introduced an unforgiving, brave young woman and boldly portrays the strength of the power of the world and the power of love. Nellie returns to the train station 50 years after the Blitz and walks up the 19 steps of the station to exit. So we get the obvious conclusion that Nellie does. So we start off, I didn't realize how much people still tried to live a normal life. If this is based on true history, I would think that most people would want to like stay in like a bomb shelter, or like stay wherever they're most protected instead of out walking around like in public, especially in a park. I would think that would be an obvious place where somebody would want to bomb.
I agree. I was shocked by that.
And honestly, even in The Nightingale, the only other book we've read to compare to, it didn't seem like they went far from where they had to go. If they had to go to town to get food or if they had to go to school, that was the only times they really left their house.
It almost seemed like, in this context, it's London, right? They were bombed, but that was only the direct correlation with the war. Mm-hmm. Other than rations and stuff like that, still not to the degree that we read about in Nightingale. In yeah. Nightingale, they had soldiers quartering, running the town, two different perspectives and experiences during the war. I was also surprised that they seemed to be going on about their days like normal, that she had a job in government. It was just different. I was shocked by that.
I agree. It was very interesting to hear the normalcy that it was almost like by day they ignored that this war was happening, and then by night they were in shelters trying to protect themselves. It kind of felt like a lot the way the story was written.
Essentially, they just lived their lives unless they heard the sirens, and then they ran to shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted more information on the sirens, how effective they were, and how they were able to alert so quickly. I would have liked more of that.
I think that was talked about in one of Billy's perspectives. It goes into Ray, the American Airman's perspective, Nellie, and Billy. With Billy's perspective, I think there was one point where he does talk about how there's air raid watchers, where they kind of watch to sound the alarm for planes flying over.
Yeah, but I felt like they would be so fast that you would get a warning, but like 5 seconds later, here's the bomb. You know what I mean? You have 0.2 seconds to find shelter as opposed to 30 minutes or more.
I think that's why they emphasize at the end that there were faster planes, because I don't think they were as fast in the front part of the book as towards the end after the incident. They emphasize our line saying they were much faster, where it was harder for people to react quickly to taking shelter.
Okay. I was a little confused by that. My brain was like, what kind of airplanes and jets? And in 5 seconds, the bomb is dropped. That's the context I had. I would have liked more explanation for lay people so we could understand what was happening better. The only point of view we probably could have gotten was Ray's. Honestly, yeah. All we got from Ray was romance. So.
Billy wouldn't have been as educated working in the tube as that. And then Nellie definitely wouldn't have been able to give any kind of insight into it. So
yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. We get into Billy's perspective in chapter 2, and he is secretly but not also secretly in love with Nellie and has been for years. It seems to be everybody but Nellie seems to know for sure that he's in love with her. But he's afraid to act on it because he's afraid he's going to ruin their friendship.
He's not wrong.
True. But she worried about it at the end. If they would have just spoken about it at the beginning, it probably would have ended up the same. It was implied the entire way where it was going to head. Nellie is taking notes at a meeting. She's assistant to the mayor, and there is an engineer telling the mayor and herself how dangerous the air raid shelter. He talks about how dangerous the steps are, that the lighting is not very good, how just a slight panic could cause a major incident. We knew something was going to happen with this. Definitely didn't expect it in the way that it happened, but expected something major to happen.
I was surprised they had a female mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Nellie had a job working for the mayor. Okay. I did find it interesting how early on we got hinted this was a tragedy waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. It felt very like, I don't want to say it felt like drug out, but it kind of did. Like I kept, every time they were going to go to the bomb shelter, I was like, okay, is it going to happen this time? Till I finally got to be like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
And then it happened and it was awful. I did care, but we kept referencing it and I was just like, okay, just do it.
No. I think that's what they live through. Is it going to happen today that we're going to die? Is it going to happen?
Nellie did. Not everybody knew that
the
stairs were going to crumble.
Is it going to happen where my house is bombed? Is it going to happen where one of us is killed on the way to the shelter? Like, that's how they live their lives every single day. Or am I going to make it to the shelter on time? Like, I imagine their life every day. That's why those chapters were there. The anticipation they were feeling with their day-to-day of having to go to that air raid shelter.
I would have preferred more about the bombs, the damage that caused the property damage, what they're inhaling, more details about that to sort of give us a clearer picture on what life really is like.
Yeah.
I feel like we hinted at things, but I'm going to compare it to Nightingale because that's the only thing I've read that's similar to this. They are different experiences. I liked Nightingale a lot. That didn't help this book. In Nightingale, every single day, we talked about how awful, what was missing this day? What was missing that day? What else were they losing? And the people being taken away. Nitty gritty details of how bad life really was. In this one, it felt more like a historical romance.
Yes.
Fictional, whatever book. Surprisingly, did not enjoy that. I think that's why I didn't enjoy the book in general.
I think they skirted around a lot of the details. We got vague ones, like whenever the sister's going on the bus, they talk about how they packed her a gas mask and stuff like that. But we never got any of those real life instances. Why do they have to carry a gas mask with them? Why do they pack what they pack to go into the shelter? None of that explanation.
Even down in the shelter, we don't get a clear description of what it looks like, what it feels like.
Mm-mm.
It just talks about bunk beds. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
Were there enough bunk beds for everybody? No, because we shared. Did we share because we had to or because it was our little sister? I'm not saying we have to relive the trauma, but if you're going to tell a story in this monumental time period, history deserves justice. I need to know what it felt like to be there before I can appreciate the romance.
I think that statement is key because in Nightingale, we felt like we were experiencing.
I was Isabella.
Yeah.
So I was stressed for my girl.
So I think the biggest difference, we were able to put ourselves in the perspective of the two sisters. We saw ourselves in the two sisters. And in this one, it was more so like Nelly wasn't surviving a war. She was trying to resolve a love triangle. It could have been done better. I don't know if it's because it's a YA book, if maybe they left out some details to keep it appropriate for that genre, but it could have added just a little bit more to attest to the history rather than the romance part.
I wholeheartedly agree. You can set the scene and give us gritty details without even going too detailed, if that makes sense. Telling me what the tunnel felt like, smelt like, was it freezing? Did the blanket even help? And little things like that are not gruesome, bloody, gory details, but it's scene setting to really pull you in and picture yourself there. I liked Nelly. I actually liked the character herself. I did not like how it seemed like the only thing that mattered to her was romance. If we had dived deeper into her personal thoughts, like, life sucks right now. I might die. I might as well fall in love. We hinted their teenage years had been taken away and mom was like, let them go to the dance. Little things like that. But felt shallow, to be frank. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it felt the entire time. Every character felt shallow, except for Ray. I loved Ray. But even then, it just wasn't. I did cry at some parts because they're horrible scenes, but it didn't hit the same. What's hilarious is that we just said in our opening we're going to save our ratings to the end, and it's obvious by our comments what we thought about this book. There's only so many incidents in this book that we can talk about. Like, this is a weird episode, I feel like, because it's not... Yeah. I don't know.
The Aries sirens end up going off. Nelly is down in the shelter. She has her friend Babs, Billy's sister. They're gossiping about another girl, Amelia, who is pregnant outside of wedlock. Prior to going into the shelter, Nelly visited her aunt and uncle and picked up Flo, her little sister. She told her aunt and uncle that it was fine to stay in their on-site shelter, which wouldn't survive a direct hit. Obviously, it shadowed that there would be a direct hit, which is what happened.
A direct hit, does that mean if it hit the box they were in, or if it hit the street by their house, we consider that a direct hit? You know what I mean? Within 50 feet?
It was their house that was hit.
That's what I assumed as well. I just wanted more details. If we're going to talk about this experience, we should give a full picture so people who did not experience it can understand what it was like.
Nelly is feeling extremely guilty. She doesn't want to say to her family that she told them to stay home. Luckily, she had picked up Flo and not kept her at her aunt and uncle's house to prevent her from being part of that catastrophe. I don't exactly know why we had to stall that death.
Here's
other back to meeting Ray.
I don't know. Two things in this book we don't explore that I was disappointed in. Her guilt over her aunt and uncle. Then her friend just says, it's not your fault. And then she's fine, miraculously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the same thing for her sister. She has that thought, like, if I hadn't gotten her off that bus, she would be safe right now. She has that thought. She gets angry. And then we move past it.
Well, I think that's the part I appreciate about Billy is he had very much, like, PTSD kind of thoughts. But then all of a sudden he didn't. But he had the longest amount of residual effect from some kind of incident. But I also don't know because
I think that's because he was there first. He saw it happen and couldn't help it. You know what I mean?
I do think Nightingale had similar things where something happened and they were forced to move on for him because something major was happening. So I that's what I'd attest a lot of that to.
They didn't get over it.
No.
It kept getting worse. They were like, could I get a break?
Yes.
Whereas Nelly was like, okay, no longer have guilt over my aunt and uncle, and moves on with her life for like a whole 30 chapters until her sister dies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe this sounds bad and maybe I should stop wishing struggles on people, but I needed her to struggle. I needed to relate to that grief and guilt, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, it was when we got started on that, you all of a sudden were just like,
okay,
moving on.
Now she meets Ray and she's going to fall in love with it. Yeah. I don't care. I don't need romance. This is war. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That's aggressive. I need you to be so distraught. Then he swoops in and he saves everything. If we're going to make it romance. But I didn't ever get her distraught. Except for when her sister's literally dead in her arms. But she moves past that quickly, too.
She did kind of get distraught whenever her mom and dad decided to send Flo out of the country. She's chasing the bus. It was like a very...
She didn't...
Like,
but that wasn't really her. That was her mom telling her to do it.
She talked about how hysterical she was trying to get her sister off this bus. And Ray chasing after it. But it seemed like the wrong time to be distraught about something.
It wasn't like... I don't know. We're dogging the actual writer. If you hear this, I apologize. But it just didn't really set the scene. Even when she is supposedly distraught, we're not getting the details. It's not just, oh, I have tears streaming down my face. It's that I'm snotting on my dead sister because I'm sobbing so hard. Or I've gone cold and I feel empty because I'm holding my dead sister. Like, yeah. That detail and description is missing throughout this entire book.
Agreed. I think... just a tiny step further would have made more connection. I think it just like it stopped.
Yeah.
And it didn't finish.
Yeah. No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say it's like they went up 18 steps and forgot the 19th.
I'm dead. That's crazy, Emily.
I know.
You're right, though. It's like they just couldn't finish that last hurdle. Like, they just couldn't get past that. That's funny. I agree. Even when tragedy strikes, the most descriptive part is that pileup.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hit the same way. My chest hurts, struggling to breathe. Then move to something else. There were so many horrible things. Such a great opportunity to give that detail, pull you into the scene, make you feel like it was your dead sister. Or you were Ray falling down the stairs. There were so many things we could have done so much better.
I agree.
Cool. Seal the deal and pull you in there and just destroy you the entire book.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe if I had read this before Nightingale, maybe I would have liked it. But after reading Nightingale and how beautifully it's written, this was lacking. And maybe it's because it's Millie's family. So maybe the writer just didn't have that emotional connection. She's just doing a job, maybe?
My part was weird to me because it talked about how they had to guard their lights, make sure their lights were turned off, or they had blackout curtains. They also had to be quiet at night, but then they're going to a pub and singing and playing piano. And
I was just like, having a dance.
I was just like, okay, what happened to being quiet and no lights? Because, I mean, I'm sure you're not singing in the dark. So what's going on? It was almost like we got one storyline that was starting to press the severity of the situation. And then the next was just like, are you kidding? Tonight is a night where the Germans won't attack us because we're out of the pub partying. It was very weird. But I think we got the pub scene because Billy was brave enough to ask her out. And then Ray interjects and decides that he's going to ask her to go out. But
well, we do this all the time. We understand why the scene was there.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean it was a good scene. Or that it was done the right way, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of this. The war's happening. Life is awful. So why not fall in love with some young American airman? I just think you need to set it up so that I can feel the world is awful. And all I have left is to find some peace and joy in my own life. We didn't get there. And I think it's simple. And we could have really easily made this a great story. Mm-hmm. And I just think we missed the mark.
I don't feel like the timeline was laid out well. I do want to say I do feel we're bashing it a lot. We're not even till chapter 10. But for a young adult, this is a good stepping stone into this feeling in this timeline. It needed to be more descriptive. But if somebody was 8, 9, 10, 11, trying to get an idea.
What were you reading at 8, 9, 10, and 11? Because I was reading Percy Jackson, fictional wars, not World War II and Nazi Germany.
I started reading when I was 2.
I've been reading a long time, but I wasn't reading about Nazi Germany.
Oh, no, I was. But I think it's a good point.
You're a weirdo.
To, like, get into that kind of thing. But so at some point, it may just be us being adults and wanting more from our books because that's what we read in adult genres. In a teen, young adult era, this may be an appropriate book for somebody of that age to read, but
I disagree. I mean, you can read it and you might enjoy it. I think it could have been better.
It could have been better, but I think it'd get their toes wet to the situation. In more of a relatable sense.
I think it should be advertised more as a romance. It's a historical fiction romance. Then you go in with a different mindset and you're expecting so much about the war.
What I was saying earlier about skipping timelines, we are going from they're having a carefree night to the bomb happening, and they're having a carefree night going to the military base, and then all of a sudden they're stealing their motor car from their captain and rushing through streets, and then all of a sudden we're back into talking about the funding for the steps being improved. It was a little bit of a whiplash situation, but it wasn't even a hard whiplash. It was like, whoop, 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 whoop. We never got through each topic to really understand the severity of each topic before we moved on to the next one. And then some of it, like the only reason why I feel like the motor car was there was so that we got the feeling that Ray was responsible for the accident. Like, it wasn't, I don't know.
Which wasn't gripping, and like, it didn't make me feel like Ray betrayed me. It's the writing. I'm sorry. Yeah. But it just wasn't written in a way that pulls you into it and makes you feel like it's you living it and experiencing it. That's, to me, the beauty of a book.
Well, the whole situation with the funding of the shelter and the improvements was real. It wasn't as severe as it could be, because it didn't talk about, hey, everybody doesn't have a lot of money right now. They occasionally hinted on that, but Nellie was expecting the Home Office still has millions of dollars left in their back pocket. So, like, they're just not wanting to do anything about this. It didn't seem realistic. Everybody was poor. It didn't matter if you were government, if you were just the average Joe, like, everybody didn't have any money. It didn't seem realistic. I mean,
wholeheartedly agree.
The fact that, yes, it probably did need to be improved, but, you know, there was probably holdbacks as far as funding. It could have emphasized that there was no money for that improvement instead of saying they're not going to do it. I feel like there should have been conversation about how they just don't have any money because they're trying to do
fight a war. Yeah. It made it very apathetic. I did not have any empathy for the home state or whatever the country, whatever you want to reference them as, and like them not giving money. But like, we know the reality of how dire and grave everything was. Every day was a fight to survive. But you didn't feel that in this book. The rations, even, we reference that there's rations and you have little cards. It doesn't talk about going to wait in line. It doesn't talk about how much you're actually getting. It doesn't talk about whether or not it feeds your family. They were fed and had good clothes. They slept on the bunk beds. I have bunk beds in my house. That's not sleeping on the cold, hard floor with no pillow.
Well, even then, they talked about sharing their food with the neighborhood and coffee with their neighborhood and stuff like that. Whenever in Nightingale, they were like
growing food. They could grow food.
Yeah.
They can do that in Nightingale. Chickens. Yeah. When I think of Nazi Germany, I think of people in the concentration camp. I think of the women, men, and children who are starving, being shaved, whipped, beaten, forced to work, and sick, and all this sort of stuff. And this book did not feel like it was giving justice to the situation.
Yeah.
Bothered me because I felt like we were hiding from what was actually happening. I didn't like that.
I agree.
And I'm not saying she had to go to a concentration camp, but they're happening. We should be talking about it. We should be concerned. We should be expressing something. I don't know.
I agree. The romance situation affected that too. Whenever Nellie and Ray meet up after the party at the base and they're chit-chatting about what the U.S. is like, it seems like rainbows and butterflies. It just kind of ignored it, which, I mean, I've never been in a world situation, so I can't say. I've never been in a situation where I need something to get me out of thinking about that. I don't know if that's what this was trying to be, was kind of like to bring her out of any kind of depression that could come with being in a war. I'm not sure. It felt like it needed explanation if that was what it was, instead of it just being like rainbows and butterflies in the middle of, we're walking down the street of bombed houses. Like, it was just, it seemed like out of touch of what was happening in the world around them.
I've got to be honest. When they were like, we're going to wait to get married until after the war.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't nobody waiting to get married until after the war? Yeah. What do you mean? Hi. She could have got his death benefit if he had really died. Mm-hmm. You know how much that would have helped her family? That's crazy.
Well, if that would have happened, I would have liked it better. If Ray passed away, or she thought Ray died, and then Billy brings her back to life, I would have liked the love triangle more. But Billy being chicken, not wanting to talk, and Ray being like, wait for an unknown amount of time for me, and then just like, it was weird.
Billy gonna sweep in because dude died.
Yeah.
We're gonna pretend she loves you.
Not only that, it was the same storyline as what happened to Amelia. Change it up a little bit.
Exactly.
So.
To be quite frank, this is gonna be mean. I wanted to like Nellie, and I did to a degree, like, that she was working and went to work every day. I thought that was admirable, considering the world around them. Yeah. And that she was speaking up and talking to her boss and expressing concerns. But then, when we got the moments that we could have gotten real character and real character growth from her, we missed it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get any growth from Billy. Billy didn't change it. Ray didn't change it. Ray seemed perfect, so maybe he didn't need to change. I don't know. Which bothered me. He didn't seem depressed, stressed. This man's fighting a war and has no worries. I don't believe that. Babs didn't grow, and she was just big chilling over there. The growth we get is because people died and now we're sad. Life goes on. But like, we need to process our emotions. Actually process them on the page so I can see, like, when she got mad and blamed everybody for the death, I was like, go girl, get it off your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just went away. I was like, okay. I'm screaming and yelling because your little sister died. I'm upset about that more than she was, I think. It just didn't make sense. Clearly, we didn't like this book.
So we also get where Ray goes to meet Nellie's family, and they're all completely in love with him. Don't have any concerns that she's fallen in love with an airman from another country.
She's perfect. He has no notes. Ray is perfect.
Well, they decide to go out Christmas shopping and go to a different part of London. And
I needed this explained better. Again, I was confused.
Well, I do know that she did notate, like, this area is, like, of London's bombless than her family's area. They end up at a jazz club, and she hates jazz and wasn't enjoying herself, so they end up leaving. A weird part of the story, to be honest. Ray ends up walking Nellie home, and they stop in the street. Billy is then spying on Nellie through the window. Ray admits that he's falling for her. Babs end up catching Billy. We find out Billy's been, like, apparently laying in bed listening to Nellie sing over several nights.
That's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
I agree.
I didn't want to hate Billy. I didn't think he was a bad guy. From the jump, she says, I wanted to explore the world. And I want to see the world and experience the world. And Billy does it. Won't give it to me. He wants to be enough. So right there, you're not made for each other.
Yeah.
No, there's no love triangle. Because she's not going to pick you if she wants to leave and you don't. Even when they're like, we're about to get married. This is disappointing.
Agreed.
Your man dies. And your thought is to marry your best friend's brother because he'll give you a stable life. That's not what you wanted. You wanted to explore and learn new things after this devastating war and the loss of your family. I didn't like it. I really don't mean for this episode to be offensive, but I had a lot of thoughts.
I also didn't like the fact that it just skipped really quick and all of a sudden we're 1 year after Pearl Harbor. It's Christmas, the air raid siren's going off, they go down to a shelter, and then Amelia, who we've just talked about, is crying in the shelter because her baby's dad has been killed in action, and he never gets to meet the baby. She asks for Nellie to sing, so then Nellie's singing Christmas songs. It was so all over the place. It seems like they were looking for something to put in each chapter that brought a little bit of happiness instead of reminded you that they're in the middle of war. That's fine, but it needed to express the severity of what's going on. You can't just sit here and be like, oh, it's 1 year after Pearl Harbor. Here's us singing in the shelter for Christmas. It's too jumpy.
Well, and that's such a great scene to show how miserable life is. They're having to spend Christmas in a shelter. Also, if we say she's such a good singer and her voice is so soothing and comforting, she should have become a singer.
Yeah.
There should have been some correlation to tie it up at the end. Not just, like, oh, she sang at the beginning. She wasn't singing no more.
It very well could have been where she was a nightclub singer and overheard the committee talking about the damages to the steps. They could have had the same storyline, just something that connect her back to that singing. And she was like the voice of hope.
Yeah.
Storyline they went with.
Well, if we weren't going to do exactly the story of your grandma, because it's not exact, it's just based on real people, then we might as well add some dramatic flares and make it a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, no offense to grandma, but I think there was potential. But I just don't think we did very good.
Ray proposes to Nellie on a bike, but he asked her to wait until after the war. They carve their names in a church, and he just has to survive to make it to there. So pretty much foreshadowing that something was going to happen to him. Billy starts basically avoiding her because he's jealous of her and Relay's relationship. And as he's kind of avoiding her, people end up falling down the stairs.
They fell down the stairs. I knew immediately when they separated, I was like, oh, this is when it's about to happen.
Well, it was hard for me to picture exactly how it happened. The parts I could picture was Billy trying to grab a person or Ray trying to climb over people at the top of the stairs. But it was very impossible by the way it was described for me to actually picture each person until they get to the inquiry and that person is describing what's going on. I really had a hard time picturing what was happening.
I agree. The main thing that stood out for me was the difficulty breathing. Mm-hmm. I got that aspect of it, but we get that in his asthma too. So that helped with the imagery. Maybe it didn't go into detail because it's a YA. I think that's what it was because I know plenty of YAs that go into grave detail. We could have set the scene, even if we didn't use gory descriptions. Until we find out how many people actually died, I didn't realize how massive of a pileup it was. It just didn't hit the same in the moment.
Billy admits he starts working himself up, which ends up getting him into an asthma attack about the situation. We end up finding out there's a lot of people dead from being crushed. We also get the other end of the tunnel where Ray had arrived and his car backfired. He believed people started panicking and running down the stairs. Ray also kind of gets stuck a little bit and he ends up gaining back consciousness enough to get out of the way. But he does end up finding Nellie's mother at the top of the staircase. Whenever Nellie took George, they had an argument. She'd gone ahead with George into the tunnel. Nellie's dad and sister had gone a little bit later. I guess her mom had gone even farther after that.
Purse or something. Did it feel realistic for them to be like, oh, of course we'll entertain this little girl and delay our trip to the tunnel to be protected from a bomb so that she can have a plushie?
No.
Me neither. I think that was part of my problem with that scene is like, what do you mean? I would have just picked my niece up and ran.
Yeah.
It's a bomb. I don't care about a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
She would have been sad and upset, screamed and cried. My nieces would throw a fit, but at least she'd be safe in the tunnel while the bomb's happening. No.
It didn't seem realistic as far as that aspect, but the other thing too I had a hard time with is like the steps. In my mind, it just made more sense for the steps to be wooden and the steps collapse. If they are concrete, it was harder for me to picture this incident happening.
Agreed.
I get a couple people falling, but 173 people died.
Here's the crazy thing, though. It never actually even it was the steps.
Yeah.
It said there was a risk, and they knew there was a risk, and they think that's what happened. But they don't know if it was the steps or if somebody tripped and it started a domino effect.
But even if it did, I don't understand how that many people.
I don't, like, with the way it was described, like, falling down. At some point.
If somebody was at the top of the steps and bulldozed down, but they're saying it started at the bottom. I have a hard time picturing it. How did it start at the bottom? The people behind you would be like, oh, there's a person falling. Yes, there'd be some shoving, but you could have been shouting, hey, somebody's fallen. Hold on. Stop. You're going to make us fall. Instead of just all of a sudden, everybody's dead.
It was described poorly. I think there was shoving from the top, which caused someone to fall, and it was a domino effect. The people at the top, not even to the stairs yet, how did they not stop?
Yeah.
I've been to London. I've been to the underground subway. I've been taking the subway. How did they pile up in such a manner? I could see them falling all over each other, getting hurt, maybe killed because of crushing. They all just fell on top of each other.
The problem I have, how are the people not on top still alive?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The top of the, like, if it was three people deep, how do the people at the top get crushed?
Agreed.
A lot of that technicalities didn't make sense.
It acted like some people were, just their legs were crushed.
Yeah.
So.
Some people I get maybe shoved against a wall and crushed, but even then, it didn't make sense. Billy should have been pulling out survivors at the bottom.
As people were tumbling down, he should have been able to grab someone and help them off. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible, because we know it's possible. We've seen it, like I said, the concert I referenced. But the description and the imagery this book set up did not make sense.
Yes.
That was my problem. I agree.
Nellie starts to panic at the bottom. They're in the tube already, and she starts panicking because her family's not there yet.
How do you not hear that?
Agreed. That was the part I had a hard time.
Everybody's screaming.
Whenever I was in some of the stations in Paris, the one I specifically remember, it was a lot of tunnels to get down to where you load onto the train.
Yeah.
My thought is, because you could go to, especially if it was a working train station, I could understand where it was very loud, very chaotic. I do remember there was a jazz player playing a saxophone. I couldn't hear anything over the saxophone, but they're not talking about music playing. They're not talking about any trains running.
Trains, yeah.
I had a hard time because I was trying to picture an overseas train station where I could have possibly had to be if I was in Nellie's shoes. It was very hard. Even with all those tunnels, the echo would have to follow. Even if they're loud down in the train station, it doesn't describe that many people down in that station. So I don't know.
And like the people that were right in front of the people that started falling. You didn't hear it and turn around and try to help?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Those people running into the station and be like, hey, I need your help. Come help me get these people out. It would have caused a little bit more of a panic, but they could have saved more people if they would have been like, hey, come help. We've got a pile up where people are dying. And then all of a sudden, there was only one way in, one way out, and there's an alternative entrance. Nellie goes up this alternative entrance and ends up seeing the piles of bodies and everything and discovers that Flo and her dad is missing. Ray is still there. He tells Nellie and her mom that he will watch over George, her brother, while they go into the church to see if her dad and Flo are there. That was the one scene that I do feel like they did describe pretty well, as far as like when the feeling of them finding the body and what they were wearing, how they were situated in the church. It was very descriptive in that aspect.
I thought it was for sure she didn't realize it because she was so hyper-focused. They go from body to body, and we get hints of what each person looks like. A baby crushed on somebody's chest. There is better description and detail in that section. I still think it could have had more. But her finding her dad and then her little sister, I did cry. That was awful. Yeah. I did cry.
Ray realizes he's watching them cry over Flo's body at fault for the panic. We end up finding out that Ray kind of has a secret is what brought him to town in the first place. But he ends up, whenever they all finally go home, he ends up telling Nellie, which is pretty a poor situation to have to happen. And he tells her that he's being relocated like the very next day. Nellie gets extremely angry with Ray, and she kind of thinks that he started the panic because she realizes the car probably backfired, sends Ray away, saying she never wants to speak to him again.
That didn't make sense to me.
It was just like grief, anger kind of feeling. So
no, her reaction made sense to me. It didn't make sense that his car backfiring caused them to think Germans were shooting. When have Germans shot at them? This entire book they've been running to the tunnel and nobody's been shooting at
them. Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry to leave you guys on that cliffhanger. But here are some questions to ponder for part two. M?
So will Nellie figure out the truth as far as what happened to her family? What will happen to Ray? Will we see him again? And how will Nellie's family make it without their main provider?
Those are great questions. We will be back with part two of 19 Steps on March 14th.
Tune in for that episode to catch our final thoughts and ratings. In the meantime, catch up on all our other episodes on all our podcasting platforms.
Season 3 is back. We'll be dividing our books into two parts to create shorter episodes and to do a weekly episode. We'll be going back to releasing on every Friday instead of the first and third Friday of each month. You can also get access to bonus episodes randomly throughout each month. We hope to see you back next week.
You can send us book suggestions, comments, and inquiries to our email at likelyreadthem@carlmpodcast.com. You can also join us on Fable, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for more engagement from us and the latest news.
We appreciate you tuning in, and we can't wait to hear your thoughts on this episode. Don't forget to join us on Fable to discuss each book as we read. And as always, we promise to Carl them like we read them.